When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was halfway through watching it last night, and I said,
"You texted me like, what have you done to me? Why have you picked this?" I was like, "I'm so sorry, I haven't watched it. I hadn't watched it yet at that point last night. I hadn't finished it. I was like, what have I done?"
Thank you very much for listening, guys. This is episode 115 of FlixWatcher Podcast. Hey everybody, and welcome to this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast. Today, Helen and I are joined by Andy.
Hello.
And Kira.
Hi.
From the Wooden Overcoats Podcast.
Fan of the show? Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FlixWatcherPod. Visit the website flixwatcher.tv for full listings and hit subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
Just to let you know, guys, all films were available on Netflix UK at the time of recording. Please note, there will be some bad language and there will be spoilers.
Hello, film fans. Joining us today, we have Kira and Andy, and we are here to review B-Movie. But first, tell our listeners about the podcast that you do, please.
We are part of Wooden Overcoats, which is a comedy podcast sitcom about two rival funeral directors on a Channel Island called Piffling Vale, which doesn't exist. But it should do.
It should do. I'd like to visit. I'm the producer on the show, and Kira plays the lovely Georgie, who is, you know, the
badass Georgie.
The badass Georgie. Part of
the Fun Funerals family, I guess.
Yes, I'm the assistant to Antigone and Rudyard Fun, who were the only funeral directors on the island, but then along came Eric Chapman.
We have had a fair few Wooden Overcoats people on this here show. We've had Chappers and Rudyard.
Chappers and Rudyard.
I've had Antigone, and also writer David K. Barnes have been on here show. So
also Dr. Edgware in the series.
Dr. Edgware, okay, I didn't know it.
He writes himself in every series to come in and tell off his main characters. It's his favourite thing.
Well, that's what I do. That's why you get like directors who do the cameos, isn't it? And writers.
Yeah.
Sitting on park bench guy.
Multi-talented.
Yeah. You're on your third season and you're doing live shows and stuff, aren't you?
Yeah.
Tell us how those go.
Yeah, we did one at Underbelly, which was super cool. I felt like a rock star.
It was very cool, actually. There's something about, like, you know, I've been going to the Fringe since I was, like, 16. Mm. And, like, when I first went up, I always thought it was, like, all the really cool people were at Underbelly, right? And you go in and, you know, you sit in another, like, 50-person venue that's full of damp.
Yeah.
And watch someone do stand-up to, like, maybe 12 people. And you're like, yeah, this is the cool place. But, like, walking into that venue, like especially when we walked in the side and the door
the back
marked
entrance.
Staff only. And I was like, oh, my God, we're going into the cow.
So it wasn't a cow anymore, though.
It's not a cow anymore.
It's purple.
The local residents complained that it was ugly, which obviously it is. It's a massive purple cow. But that's the joy of it.
Is this just South Bank or is this Edinburgh as well?
Oh, the South Bank
South
one.
Bank.
I think they might have got rid of the cow in Edinburgh as well.
But then it doesn't make sense. Underbelly. What are you under then?
Because that whole cow theme is...
All those cow puns have now been lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just call it under. Under the stage.
So we're here talking about B-Movie, which is your choice, Kira.
I picked B-Movie.
Can you tell us why you chose it and give us a 2-minute synopsis?
So I picked B-Movie, actually, because I was reading some Netflix stats and I read in these stats that there is a person who exists in this world who watched the B-Movie 357 times in 1 year. That was the year of 2017. And there is actually another person from Spain who has seen it 281 times. And I watched it when it came out at the cinema. And I think I really enjoyed it, but obviously forgot about it because, you know, people forget. And then I thought I'd watch it again after reading those stats. I was like, what has drawn someone to that, to see it so many times? So B-Movie is about a bee, obviously. The bee's called Barry B. Benson the Bee. and it is a film about a bee who doesn't want to work in the hive for the rest of his life, so he escapes from the hive with some hench bees called the pollen jocks, and he makes friends with a human, or falls in love with a human. No one can quite figure it out. So,
what do you mean no one can quite figure it out?
I mean, it's a topic of like interest in the film. Like,
sure.
I don't know what that relationship is. Anyway, so he meets this human. He realizes that humans have stolen all of the honey from the bees, so he decides to sue the human race. And that actually is what the film is about. I'm not lying.
No, that's true. Helen, what are your thoughts on Bee Movie? Had you seen it before?
I had not.
Well, okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry to have put you through it.
I had not seen this. It had never been on my radar.
Had you heard of it before?
I'd heard of it,
yeah.
And gone, what is this movie? Who is the audience for this film?
Me.
So it came out when? 2007? So how old were you when you saw this one?
I was in year 7. So I was 11. It's a perfect film for an 11-year-old movie.
Didn't know much
about the world then.
I mean, so many questions about this film, but also I think you probably forgot about it because it's quite unremarkable in any way.
Like all the bee puns.
Is it unremarkable? Or just is it just like why? Why?
So I think I was expecting it to be funny, which it isn't. Which.
You're looking at me for help. You keep on talking.
I mean, who is this film for? I don't even think it knows who this film's for.
It's for no one but like people on the internet who take the piss out of it, I think.
Because the film was so uninteresting, the stories and the thing about the guy who, or person who watched it 357 times, and the person who printed out the entire script onto a t-shirt, and the video where you watch it and every time someone says B, it speeds up, and the whole thing about the bestiality, the relationship, is way more interesting than the actual film. I mean, why is Ray Liotta on Jars of Honey? Why are bees driving cars?
Why don't humans run all the time? It's a question, you know. That's what the
Why would you run all the time? Because it takes up energy.
I mean, I can't run, so I really understood that. It really sat with me. You know?
That's probably your endearing memory from when you watched it as a kid.
Yeah.
But did you enjoy it as a kid, or did you find it a bit boring?
I honestly can't remember, but I think I did enjoy it. I'm quite a simple person, so
I didn't. I didn't watch this one as a kid. I came to it first. I think about
last week when Kieran
made
it. No. But I forced everyone to sit down.
I came to it a few years ago on quite an atrocious hangover. I was watching it with my housemate and my then girlfriend, and I think it was like the experience of it in that state of like half sleepy.
Yeah,
friends. It's so baffling a film.
So weird.
Yeah. And the bee puns are so relentless that I actually came out of it from that hangover like with fond memories of it. I mean, I should have, like, you know, the litmus test should have sort of been ticked by my girlfriend at the time, finding it like bordering on terrifying.
Why did you say terrifying? Where was the fear from?
I think it was like the frenetic changes in pace.
Sure.
She found quite anxiety inducing. The sort of, I guess, the raw quantity of bee puns. Like, you sort of, you know, when you...
How could that be?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's like, you get that. Some people's reaction to a pun is like, oh, very clever. Some people's is like an out loud groan. And hers was every time, but they're so thick and fast. Like, if any of these jokes were funny, right, the gag rate of this film would be...
It'd be higher than Airplane.
Absolutely incredible. Like, the fact that Jerry Seinfeld wrote this is something I find, like, really confusing.
I think this is the thing that attracted me to it in the first place, because I love Jerry. I think he's, like, a fantastic guy. And he doesn't do films, generally. So the fact he came up with this idea... I should say, I think the first time I watched this was last year, when I went to Australia and I was watching it with my cousins-in-law, nephews-in-law, I don't know, maybe just nephews. And the youngest is like 6, 11, and like 15. And they, like, the youngest was like, he was loving it, every single bit of it. And I was just like, I can see they're enjoying it. That's fine. It's for them. But why has Jerry Seinfeld written a film for them? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't kind of tally. Then it does the kind of twist into the law bit, which must be so confusing for anyone who's a child. Because at the start, you're just like, bees flirting around, they're making bee gags.
Yeah.
Or blah, blah, blah. Oh, there's a talking bee, and the adult understands it. And there's a bit where the bee is shaking the hand of the lady, and the gardener's like, what the hell's going on here? So it's cool, kind of wacky, crazy, fantastical. But then it doesn't really tally with everything else. And like I say, why is Ray Liotta in the film, and why is he on a jar of honey?
Maybe they're trying to get
Paul Newman died at that point or something. Were they trying to do that kind of thing?
But he's an award winner in as well, isn't he?
Award-winning honey.
Award-winning, yeah, honey maker. Like, I get the sense that, you know, because Seinfeld's traditionally a short-form writer.
Yeah.
It does honestly feel like a film that has been written in sort of like four states of mind across it. It's almost like he's written like these four parts of a film maybe a couple of years apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't add a completely different action to it.
Yeah.
Like, because you start off with, yeah, just like... like, you know, bee japes. Like, when you start the film with them, like, I really actually enjoy the opening sequence.
Yeah.
When I sat down to watch it for this, I was like, you know, since I watched it on a hangover, I, you know, looked it up in the course of approaching this, and I was like, oh, it's actually been quite critically poorly received. I wonder what I'll make of it, because sometimes, you know, you disagree with the critic. And then the first sort of 20 minutes of it, I was like, this is fun. Like, this is just a fun film. I can see why kids would like it. It's like, you know, aimed at the right place.
It's a coming-of-age movie for bees.
Coming-of-age movie for bees. Like, and like, the bee puns are a bit cringe, but they kind of work. And the sort of visuals of how that bee colony works,
yeah,
are all really fun, and they all really work. And then it makes this kind of weird gear change when they leave the hive, where it starts trying to do some sort of social commentary through bees, where yeah, I feel like it again, it's like that thing of like, it's almost like he'd gone, right, I've written the bee colony bit, so I'm just gonna go do some stand-up for a while, and I'll come back and then write the next bit of the film,
sure,
when I've had some ideas. And then it has this almost like Trumbo-esque sort of socialist backbone to it as you get into the final part of the film, and the whole lawsuit, and like kind of challenging the hegemony and the status quo.
It could have been good. It could have been good, and then it all went downhill. It ruined it.
But then it's after when they win the lawsuit, then it goes just proper dark, because then all the flowers die.
Yeah.
Colony's collapse, flowers die, and you're like, oh, well, shit, I shouldn't have messed with the status quo because I didn't know what I was doing because I'm a little bee.
Silly Barry.
And you're like, well, dude, you should have courage and convictions, I think. That's the point where it's not the point that lost me a fair bit earlier. But you just kind of think, that's what story are you trying to tell at this point?
Yeah.
Yeah, the moral doesn't fit. The end of the film doesn't fit with what they were telling the whole way through, the whole cult case and everything.
Mm. Yeah.
And they just go back to working again.
But sort of in harmony. It feels like what Seinfeld landed on, it was like he was sort of exploring his political leanings as he was writing it, and he kind of went, you know, actually, we need real communism for bees. and then when he won the court case, it was like, oh, actually, you know, obviously I need to show that communism hasn't worked everywhere. All the flowers must die. And then it sort of ended up at like third way Tony Blair Labour at the end of it.
Let's talk about, I mean, we've not just touched on, but the bee puns. They were, like you said, relentless. Because if it was just that first 20-minute segment where it's talking about, oh, I remember that time I took a gap year or gap day and like toured the hive, that was such a great day, and all that kind of nonsense, and having the graduation like every 15 minutes and like bees dying every 15 minutes, all that kind of rigmarole. But if that had stopped after the first 20 minutes and then it kind of did the gear shift then, but they just kept going all the way through the film, and it just became... so tiring, yeah, exactly. Just so tiring.
It's a knackering film, isn't it?
And also, for me, when I start judging the physics of a film, just thinking, well, this makes no sense whatsoever. It's because you are disengaged from it right from the start. And when all the bees are helping this plane lift.
Oh, I hate that bit.
And like dancing around this petal formation on the runway, I just thought, this is dumb. This is like proper, yeah. This is a dumb thing that's happening in this film.
They should have just ended it after the court case. That's my belief. Like, I think it is stupid, but like it ends in a good place there. But then they just fuck it up.
That's
bees can't even do that flower formation, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because they're black and yellow all the way through, so they can't change their colours.
Yeah, they can't.
They're not chameleons. Helen, you've been quite quiet.
They're not fireflies.
Are you furious?
If it had have ended at the court case, it would have been at least, you know, 30 minutes shorter.
Yeah, it could have been like a really weird, annoying bee pun short film. And everyone would have forgotten it, but it wouldn't have become the internet sensation that it has become.
It would not. I mean, this kind of reminded me a little bit of The Room, in that it's kind of got
Oh, it's not that. It's not as bad as. It's not so bad.
It's not as,
Brave.
Good as that.
Yeah. But it's that kind of. It's acquired that sort of weird status where.
I don't. If this came on in Prince Charles, I don't think anyone would go and see this.
I think would you go and see?
I wouldn't. I personally, I don't think I could ever watch it again. I did. See, I watched the thing. I did watch like 10 to 15 minutes of it before. It was just as he met his human friend, the bee bit, with my friend. We watched it and it was all bee puns and we found it funny. And then when I had to watch it again to finish it, to remember what happened, I was pained and I didn't like the ending.
I mean, also...
It's just so weird.
Renée Zellweger is awful in it.
Which one's
she? I hate her.
All she does is provide a voice.
Is she the main lady?
Yeah.
And her husband's so annoying. Why is she with him?
Were they married? Is that what the...
Her boyfriend, I couldn't work out what the relationship was. I mean, she dumped him for a bee, so...
And there's a whole thing about him printing his CV out on a leaflet.
And she rips it up to save the bee. Yeah.
There's a lot of dumb... I feel it was just...
But someone apparently has watched this film 357 times.
And another one, 281, so I don't know why.
And that was in 1 year. So what happened on those like 9 days when they didn't watch it? What?
I bet it was those people off YouTube and making them weird videos, you know? Who else could it be?
Explain these weird videos. You said that every time they say B, it speeds up. So what does that work? That concept sounds odd to me.
I can give you a rundown. I love these.
Have you watched the B movie one?
Yeah. I've seen B movie now, I think 4 times. And 2 of those times have been, in some way, a weird YouTube video. and one of them, the one you're talking about, it speeds up by, is it 15% every time the word B.
Oh, right. So it keeps speeding up and speeding up and speeding up. So it just goes faster and faster and faster.
And due to the sheer quantity of bee puns in this film, I don't actually know how many... What?
He doesn't leave the hive before it gets silent.
Yeah. Before it becomes so fast that human ear can't hear it. And it's over in about 4 minutes.
That sounds good, actually.
Yeah. It really improves the film.
Yeah. I think I'd recommend that's the way to watch it.
Yeah.
So without having watched that already, I'm saying well done, internet.
I know the line where he goes, do you like jazz?
Yeah.
there's quite an amazing one where it's... that line on its own being played in a loop. But then the first one happens, and it happens again, and then there's 2 of them happening at the same time, and then it goes up in the Fibonacci sequence on a loop forever until eventually you've got about 12 million Jerry Seinfeld saying, do you like jazz, at the same time? Very, very slightly out of sync.
It sounds harrowing.
And it's completely, it's terrifying.
I know what I'll be doing before going to bed tonight.
Yeah.
Watching that.
Where are you guys on, first of all, Jerry Seinfeld generally, but also, I mean, this is a DreamWorks vehicle. I can't think they must have thought much behind it, apart from the fact that Jerry Seinfeld came up with the idea, one of the biggest comedians, actors, celebrities ever. I don't know. That must have been the long and short of why this got made.
Yeah.
I mean, surely.
I have no idea.
You have no idea? nothing about Jerry?
There's so many questions.
No, I'm not really, no. It wouldn't... This is probably why I've never really had much interest in it.
In the film?
Yeah.
You've got to imagine he gives a good pitch, Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Like... You know, he's obviously great. He's a great talker, great in a room. So you can imagine him coming in with a A4 sheet of paper and going like, I've got it. Pretty much, here's the bee movie.
Why did he pick bees though? It's
because there's so many puns.
There's just so much.
I mean, there's so many. I didn't know there could be that many.
Bee. Literally every time you say bee.
I wasn't even trying on that one.
So this time was when a DreamWorks film came out, my head kind of like dropped Grind. A bit. Yeah, it's just they're trying to do Pixar. They can't do it. They're just not as good. Why even trying? So even as much as I love Jerry Seinfeld, I hadn't really seen it until, like I say, a couple of years ago, last year, because I just thought it doesn't make any sense. And it looks, even then, it didn't look that good. I just watched Toy Story 4 and that looks out fucking standing. Yeah. I know it's been a lot of time since then, but Toy Story 1 looked great. All the Pixar stuff looked great. And it's only since How to Train Your Dragon, I think, DreamWorks have worked out how to make a good looking like film.
Animation. Shrek was good though.
Prince of Egypt.
What? I've not even seen that.
That is the best film that's ever been made. And I'm not saying that lightly.
Did you see that when you were 11 as well?
I think that's the film I've maybe watched the most times because my parents are really religious. So they were like, you can watch this. It's education. Moses. It's got some great songs. I think they should make it into a stage musical.
I've not seen it.
So. You've not? Andy!
Why? What?
Prince of Egypt. It's the only good thing. Well, no, that one of the best things that DreamWorks have made.
Is it on Netflix?
It is not.
Oh, that's a shame.
I would have picked that.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know why I picked this. I'm so sorry, guys.
No, but
so
I think it's a valid reason. You loved it when you were a kid, or you saw it when you were a kid and wanted to see if I think that does.
Yeah.
I do really love the bravery of not re-watching it before. I mean, like,
I watched that 10 minutes and I was like, there's so many puns in this. Like, it's going to be good. And then I watched the rest of it. And I had to go through the pain of watching that 10 minutes again.
It does, like, the start of it looks like it could be a good film. And then it just...
It just gets so weird. I think they like gave up with it or something and they were like, we'll just do whatever, you know?
Yeah.
There's that really weird bit when they make a joke about having a suicide pact as well.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Shouldn't be in there.
Is that to do with their stingers, isn't it? Like the fact that it rips, like...
Yeah, he's like, I'll sting you.
And then you'll tread on me.
You tread on me and she's like, you'll die twice. And he's like, oh. And that's it.
Oh my God.
Death jokes.
Like, the thing is, part of me thinks if it was all that and you had a kind of like almost Rick and Morty-esque kind of subversion
for adults.
Subversion of the kind of Pixar classic.
Yeah.
You might have a film that Jerry Seinfeld could write very well. But the problem is, like, you know, like if you watch old Seinfeld, like it's great, but bits of it do not date well. Like,
like mid-90s sitcoms do not, a lot of them, their heart was in the right place at the time.
Not especially sensitive.
Yeah.
Like, that was the sort of era where, like, saying the unsayable was kind of cool and fun.
Yeah.
And then obviously when you try and translate that writing style for kids, saying the unsayable is something that you can never put a PG certificate on. And so you can imagine, like, a lot of the humour kind of, it's really tricky. Like, also, you can't really write a film about nothing in the same way that Seinfeld...
Yeah, I mean, Seinfeld, they're essentially vignettes, they're like 20-minute-long episodes.
Yeah.
You could expand nothing to 20 minutes with all the casts of characters that they have in there. But this, even Seinfeld himself doesn't really have... I don't know, he hasn't got a presence so much in this, has he?
No.
Even the main B character doesn't have them. And I can't think of the names of any of the Bs, apart from Chris Ross Mosquito. Yeah. And he comes in to do some mosquito puns.
But
many puns.
Aren't the mosquito puns such a breath of fresh air?
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of like even celebrity voices, it's just really unremarkable.
It's lacking, isn't it?
And just really...
Oh, when you said Renée Zellweger, I was like, what? I didn't even know who she was. Who else was in this film?
Matthew Broderick?
I
can only assume he's the idiot boyfriend. Idiot husband.
Sting's in it. Is it the actual Sting doing the voice of Sting?
Yeah, that was a weird thing as well, wasn't it?
Sting.
He just wanted the pun. It's just all for the puns.
I mean, but the thing is, if that happened in Airplane, you'd be like, yes.
No, but Airplane would have thought
it's so surrounded by terrible stuff.
So Matthew Broderick, who's Adam Clayman, I don't know who that is. John Goodman, Chris Rock, Kathy Bates. So a lot of these...
Ray Liotta playing.
Oh, yeah, Larry King. That was, in fact, that was the funniest bit when he was like,
"Be Larry King is a good bit."
I forgot about that.
God, Oprah's in it.
By the way, do you know there's another Larry King? Looks just like you, same kind of sharp shoulders and stuff. I thought that was generally the best bit.
Oh yeah, and then Oprah played Oprah.
I think one big problem, I think, Helen, as you're saying, is that a lot of these names, a lot of these voice names, don't have that much of a prominent voice. Yeah. So. Chris Rock, of course, but John Goodman, even Matthew Broderick's voice is a bit of a nothing kind of voice, isn't it? It doesn't really.
Who does he play?
I think John Goodman is the judge. Is that right, or the factory owner?
Well, maybe he's the judge. Factory owner.
Factory owner.
Yeah, okay. He plays a human.
So it's just,
one of the bees.
Let's see. We don't know. We don't know who
it's
he plays.
So you know.
Oh no! Is that his friend?
Yeah.
Oh,
and that cousin.
I didn't even know he had a name.
And that cousin, yeah.
I was like, the bee mate. Like,
oh my God, these quotes out of context are awful.
And these,
didn't die.
That thing with the cousin is just so odd as well.
Kira, shall we do a dramatic reading of a couple of Adam Flayman's quotes?
Yeah.
Do you want to play Adam or Barry?
Oh, you pick.
I'll do Barry then. Go on.
Okay. Wow, she looked hot.
She's my cousin.
She is?
Yes, we're all cousins.
And then he wants to shag his cousin like 5 minutes later, and I'm like, you just told him off for that.
Yeah, because they're all bees.
And all those incestuous bees. Right, before we go to the scores, guys, let's see. Are we Pixar guys or DreamWorks guys? I know what the answer is.
DreamWorks for the Prince of Egypt. Surely. No, I mean, it's got to be Pixar, hasn't it? I mean, how many DreamWorks films can we name right now?
How to Train Dragon 1.
How to Train Dragon 2.
How to Train Dragon The Hidden Kingdom.
How about really good ones?
Shark Tale.
How to Train Your Dragons.
Shark Tale.
Mate, don't rewatch that.
Really, I loved that as a child as well.
I know.
I think I got it.
There's a really good bit in it where they do a car wash underwater.
Yeah,
and it makes no
that
sense.
That is so good. But they have a lava lamp.
Yeah, but the rest of it is.
Is it? I'm not going to watch it again then.
Yeah, not great.
DreamWorks or Pixar, Andy?
I mean, I want to, like, just to be a contrarian, I want to mount a defense of DreamWorks. I'm really trying to pull it together here. Maybe, like, so Shrek 1 is a good film. Mm-hmm. Shrek 2.
But do you want to watch Shrek 1 again?
Fine.
Now someone says, do you want to watch Shrek 1? What's your see that sigh?
Yeah, you know, but I think I have the Shrek 2 soundtrack, right, in the car.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
It's absolutely brilliant. Like, it's like, it's all just like covers
Smash Mouth on it, or is that the first one?
Yeah, Smash Mouth on the first one. Okay. But in Shrek 2, it's basically the whole album or a bunch of artists doing covers of each other's work.
Right.
So give it all kind of like a new, fun, fresh feel, and it works really nicely. It's a really great soundtrack.
I might check it out, guys.
The film is fine. It's fine. Shrek 1 was better. But at the time, you know,
I like Puss in Boots.
Yeah, Puss in Boots was great.
Yeah.
Antonio Banderas, like, rocking around.
Gingerbread Man,
fun character, good gags. Pixar, mate.
Helen, do I need to ask?
I really, really, really struggle with DreamWorks films, with all of them.
Even How to Make
Sure. I haven't seen them.
They are legit. Okay. Like,
maybe it was the kind of like, I don't, I it was that, didn't really like Shrek. I found it just so irritating. And the films that I've seen of theirs, I've just been just really like, ugh, I really don't like it. I just don't like their storytelling and I don't like the jokes.
But yeah.
But also, I think also, I'm quite a bit older than you. So I think I was just nowhere near the demographic to have watched them the first time around.
That's what I was trying to work out the demographic for this, because it doesn't make sense for kids.
I mean, the first half is for children.
What
the
B-movie?
Half is for lawyers. And then the final bit is...
It's for no one.
For no one.
It is for no one, the whole film.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's quite an impressive bit of Brechtian alienation, the whole film. Like, I think we should actually put it up in league with
the
new wave of French films. And like,
I think that is the thing that annoys me the most, because I just don't understand.
Because a lot of the jokes are so adult, but...
Are you talking DreamWorks generally?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. And obviously Shark Tale is all... There's no way that your average, like, 8-year-old would have seen De Niro's back catalogue or anything.
To care that
to get why it's funny. And yet they still kind of enjoy it because it's, I don't know, a shark. I don't really know.
Do you think they're more aimed at the dads than the kids? Because like, I always get the sense of DreamWorks films are all aimed at the dads and not the mums as well, which is something that kind of is a bit tricky.
I think...
And then...
I think that's where Pixar does... play it well, because they do aim it for the dual audiences, and they're not as kind of FNAF for the adults.
Yeah, they're not as crass, and it's less kind of fart jokes, I think.
Mm.
And the Pixar ones have aged better because they do less kind of really sort of the moment pop culture references.
I do, honestly, 100%. I had not watched the first How to Train Dragon because of the DreamWorks stench. But then I saw it on a plane, and it's one of those plane movies you start watching, and you're like, oh shit, this is really good. And then the second one, like, not completely flawed me, because it's shot by Roger Deakins, quote unquote. So his like, it looks outstanding, looks absolutely like jaw-droppingly amazing, and the story is just brilliant. So I do say bye, sayonara to the rest of DreamWorks, because I don't think anyone's put a good bid in for a good one. Yeah. But I think How to Train Your Dragon 1, 2 and 3 are like amongst the best of animated films.
Absolutely never watch.
And I've just checked.
What's that? The How to Train Your Dragon animated series.
Yeah, that's on Netflix. I just thought I don't want that.
Don't
so is that the film or is that the series then on Netflix?
On Netflix it's the series.
So the film isn't on there?
It wasn't when I last checked, but you can quite easily tell, because the film would be like 90 minutes long, whereas the series will be like 20.
I need to watch it.
That's it then.
Oh, is it there?
Yeah.
Well, try it. Have a watch. Have a watch. Report back to us. Right. I'm obviously Pixar. Right. Let's go to the scores.
Oh,
Okay, Kira, you chose a film. This is our spreadsheet.
Spreadsheet of Dreams, to give it its full title.
Love a spreadsheet.
Let's zoom in a little bit. Okay, Kira, you chose it. So out of five, how highly would you recommend B-Movie 2?
To a normal person.
You can quantify it how you want.
I wouldn't want to recommend it to someone for them to think that I actually genuinely enjoy it. So I'm going to give that a one.
Oh.
No, a two. I feel bad.
Why? On who?
There's Seinfeld. So many puns. Like
Seinfeld doesn't care. He's got his comedians and cast.
Apparently there is some talk of a sequel.
No, they're never going to do that. They never will.
Well, they call it B-Movie B.
The B-side.
Oh, there you go. They've literally just thought of a title which you've just given them. And some DreamWorks executives are just there.
If you got approached to be the voice of a bee, would you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I've always wanted to be the voice of a squirrel. I think I've got a perfect voice.
There's no reason why there could not be a squirrel in this
absolutely not.
Universe.
Squirrel doesn't rhyme with anything, though.
Yeah.
So you can't really do many puns with
it. Is over the head Quarrel? DreamWorks?
I think it is, actually. Yeah. Not seeing that either.
That's not terrible. Good soundtrack again. That's Ben Folds. Wrote it back to front.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay. That's interesting.
Film's fine.
They're all just fine. Yeah. Prince of Egypt, though, guys, seriously.
I don't believe you.
I don't.
And it's so good. The music is so good.
That's their attempt to do a decent old school Disney thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think just do your own thing. Yeah. Sorry, Andy, your recommendability score. Off to a flyer with two from Kira.
I mean, you can't have. You can't have anything less than a zero. I just thought I should say that the maximum is five, and you can't have less than a zero. Just in case you're going there.
I wonder where Helen's leaning for this.
The thing is, I think there's a certain curiosity value to this film. Like, it's not entirely without fascinating elements.
I thought you were going to go into a entertainment, isn't there?
It's not without flaws. It's full of flaws.
It is a flaw.
And for that reason, I think there's a certain type of person where I go, wait, but have you seen B-Movie though? Like if you've got a morning when you're hungover to waste, like, watch it.
Sure.
And then report back to me about what you like, because that, like, and on that, I can't give it a zero.
Sure.
Would I recommend it to anyone who I want to still be friends with after? No. I'm gonna give it a one. Can we do decimals?
You can do decimals.
I'm gonna give it a 1.8 because I don't think it quite makes a 2.
Helen,
I mean, I wouldn't recommend this to anyone that I know, but it is so weird. I mean, I thought it was really boring as well, but for the kind of weirdness factor, and I'm just thinking, what is this person who's seen it 357 times like?
I don't ever. Ever want to meet them?
I wonder if it gets better on repeat.
I think you'd go a bit insane, wouldn't you? But maybe it's for their cat or something.
But you do have those people who just like have done a marathon every day for a year. You have those people who just have to achieve something, even though a lot of the Guinness World Records are nonsense. Mm. And you kind of think, well, why have you done that?
Yeah,
I mean, you can do it, but why did you do that?
Maybe there's some like weird bug on their laptop where when they press like the on button, it turns on Chrome and loads of the movie.
Well, and then it like straps them into their bed and keeps their eyes open so they can't.
the stats can't tell if they're actually looking at the screen the whole time. That's why.
I like the way they actually counted as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really weird. I mean, if you have seen it and you're listening and you're thinking, should I watch it again? Yeah, go on, watch it again. See what you think of it. If you think, I want to give that a go after listening to this, then please do. But we have warned you. I mean, I can only give it a one.
Yeah, only for the morbidly fascinated, I think.
I'm going to join Andy on 1.8. I saw the kids who were not watching, they really enjoyed it. So that's who I'd recommend it to. And it's one of those things where if I had kids or was with kids and we didn't want to watch the film, but we wanted the kids to be entertained for a bit and we could just go and talk about something else over there, then yeah, give them B-Movie.
That's a great shout.
But if someone puts on Toy Story, I'm going to sit down and watch it with the kids because I want to watch Toy Story.
Yeah.
So it's like a film you kind of go,
this serves a purpose.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Jerry's
long,
like
long car journeys or something.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what that happened when it came to the law scene and also the world destruction of flowers. I think that must have, maybe I left the room at that point. But
there's the bit where his mate stings him and he doesn't die.
Yeah, I'm really upset that he didn't die.
Because the whole point is
they die.
They die.
Yeah. Repeat viewing score, Kira.
Repeat viewing score. I mean, when I watched the first 10 minutes alone, I would give that like a 4 because I was really enjoying it. But when I had to repeat watch that 10 minutes when I had to finish the film to remember what happened in order to do this today.
I feel like there should be some kind of counselling session after this for everyone.
I really, really regret picking it because I feel like
you've wasted
there's
your opportunity.
So many films I haven't seen yet and I've now watched this twice and a bit. And I just wish I hadn't. So I don't know. I'd kind of want to tell people I know to watch it again just so they know how bad it is. You know what I mean? Just, or maybe they can watch the YouTube video where it goes silent halfway through. Maybe that would be better for them. I'd say repeat viewing score, I would give a 1.21.
Well, by the way, the number for the Samaritans, if you're listening, 116.
I wonder why you're checking your phone. Andy.
So I was thinking about this, and I was going to give it an out of nowhere 4.5.
What?
For that's all of the reversionings on YouTube.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because they are way more entertaining than the film.
They don't count.
And like, they are a great rabbit hole to go down. But that is not the original cut of the film. And so, like, unlike maybe, you know, like Blade Runner, where you can excuse there being lots of different versions that are worth rewatching.
Sure.
There's none of the depth in them particularly. They're just all wacky ways of making Jerry Seinfeld so different. And so it's lost 4 points in that technical exclusion from me. And I'm going to give it a 0.5 for a rewatch. I never want to see it again. I was halfway through watching it last night. And I said,
you texted me like, what have you done to me? Why have you picked this? I was like, I'm so sorry. I haven't watched it. I hadn't watched it yet at that point last night. I hadn't finished it. I was like, what have I done?
Helen.
I mean, I barely made it through in one go. I didn't make it through in one go. I had like 2 days break in between the first, I don't know.
I'm so sorry.
just the thought of having to watch it again. I just wouldn't be able to do it. Zero.
I'd go for a 1.
There's no way you'd watch this again.
What do you mean? I've just given it a 1. I'd watch it. I'd put it on again. Like I say, if there was kids in the corner, like you were saying, the first kind of few minutes kind of joy you up, bustle you up a bit, don't they? But
yeah, and then, yeah.
Then it comes, I think as soon as he meets, maybe is it as soon as they go out the high, really, that's where it becomes properly stupid.
As soon as he speaks to the human, that's where it's just, because there's some cool shots or whatever where he's like flying through the cartoon in New York and it's like, ooh, everyone's trying to kill him. He's just a bee. Mm. And then, man.
Yeah. After, do you like jazz? that's the point that should end. Yeah.
It's gone at that point.
I'd give it 1. I'd give it 1.
What's the lowest score ever, Kobe?
We'll get to that later.
This, I hope it is.
Small screen score. Kira.
I mean, I don't know why I enjoyed watching it at the cinema when I was like 11.
Were you with friends or were you with your parents?
I'm pretty sure I went with a group of friends.
Sure. So that's a bigger thing in itself, isn't it? When you're that age.
You've paid for a ticket.
Well, your parents paid for a ticket.
Well, yeah.
Popcorn.
But it at least makes you feel more invested. You've gone somewhere. You've got popcorn.
Yeah. And we used to get McDonald's afterwards.
Probably
as well.
Really hyper off all that sugar.
Yeah. With all your mates.
Yeah.
Probably gains a lot from being in the cinema, doesn't it?
And I was an easily entertained child, so I can see why I feel like I did enjoy it. I definitely would never pay money to watch it. If, as you say, if it was on in the cinema, I would not go. It was, I think it'd be all right as a hangover film, like on your lap, where, you know, you're ordering food at the same time and you're not paying attention and you've got 11 other tabs open and you're looking at your phone and chatting to your housemate and not really watching it. So it's perfect for the small screen. I'd give it, for the small screen score, I'm gonna give it a 3. That's the highest one so far.
Andy.
I mean, you can't disagree with that logic, can you? Because I sort of joked that the sort of hyperness of going to the cinema must have added something to it. But actually, I don't really think it loses anything at all. I'd have happily actually just watched this on an iPhone on the way into work.
In bed.
Yeah. But I can't say I actually enjoyed it. So it's going to creep up to a 2.2.
Helen.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why you'd want to see this at the cinema.
I did.
Unless you're a child.
Unless you're a child in 2007.
Yeah.
And it's the only thing on.
Yeah.
Which is probably the case.
I mean, people went to see it, I guess, at the cinema. Yeah, I mean, it is on Netflix if you want to you want to go and find it there and, you know, have a go at beating the record, maybe.
Beating.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've brought Kira on to highlight, enunciate all the bee puns, the inadvertent bee puns. Thank you very much.
Unbelievable.
I'll go 3 as well.
3. I'm going to go for 4. I think I can't imagine having seen it in the cinema. I remember it coming out and just thought, I don't think that looks good.
Yeah.
Even though I like Jerry Seinfeld, so I'm abstaining. So I think it works fine on the TV screen. It's easy to drop on. Yeah. Engagement score.
I mean, actually, that score is entirely about how well it works on the TV as opposed to a film. It's not really a value judgment on the film, is it?
It's not necessarily a value judgment on the film.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pull that up to a 3.2.
I mean, it works so much better on a small screen than it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kira, so engagement score.
Is this how well I'm engaged with it?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't enjoy it.
I disengaged from the film.
Those first 10 minutes, you know, I was laughing away. I couldn't believe myself. And then engagement. I'm going to give the first 10 minutes a 4. And then I'm going to reduce that 4 to a 2.5. Maybe, no, a 3.
So you want to say 3?
I'm going to say 3 because I was so confused about what was going on that sometimes I did pay attention, but most of the time I was thinking about other things.
Andy.
Spent more time texting Kira than watching the film. But the first time, genuinely the first time I watched it, I really enjoyed it. I don't know what it was. It was about being really hungover. Or something. Yeah, but I was sat there watching it going, what is this? I'm having a great time enjoying how odd this is. It's some, like, my frazzled brain, something about it just, like, kind of made it work. So I can't actually give it under 1.
It could be like the magic roundabout for people who were on acid in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so I wasn't on acid or in the 60s. I was just, you know, a bit sore from the pub. But
can you remember what you were drinking? Was it just beer, or were you going into things like absinthe?
Where would we have been? I think we'd been at something like a kind of club night thing the night before, so it probably would have been spirits.
Sure.
So I might still have been
a bit of a searing hangover, not just a dull one.
Yeah, and I kind of sore feet. I remember having sore feet. and I remember, like, we had Domino's. That helped it.
Nice.
And I think, actually, as much as anything, it was just the like comedy value in someone else hating it so much. Like, kind of locked me in to, like, almost want to sell the film more to them. You know that experience, like, wait, you're getting something out of it and someone completely isn't. And rather than feeling, like, weird and insecure about it, you just lean in and go, no, this film's brilliant. I think that's what I did.
Ex-girlfriend, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not why.
Because of B-movie.
God, imagine. Like, it was quite a long time afterwards, but I can sort of...
that's where the first
crack in the
beehive
in the porcelain. Beehive is better. I reckon that first time I was probably engaged to a point of a 4, and the second time it was a 1. So what's the average there?
2.5.
Whack it in.
Helen.
I was just going to say, Andy, your story of like your first experience is Helen Zaltzman came on and picked a film that is a Bollywood film about a man who gets killed by mobsters and is reincarnated as a fly. And it's, oh God, it's awful. And she picked it because she watched it the day after moving house, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was kind of a traumatic moving house experience and thought it was the best thing ever.
So there's something about the sort of shifting baseline syndrome of what you find.
I think you had the sort of same experience of how you interpreted something.
Same trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those first 10 minutes, I was hungover as well. And I loved it. I was laughing.
Maybe that's
loud.
The secret to this film. Like
it's a hangover film.
The sort of pairing notes.
The borderline of being really drunk and really hungover.
Yeah.
And not okay.
So your score, Helen?
I was trying to think when I'd lost interest in a film so quickly. And it was a real struggle for me to get through this. I didn't even care what happened. I did think, my break in between it, I thought, could I get away with not watching the rest of it and just kind of like either blag it? And then it's just like...
You never know if it's going to take a
well,
upturn.
And also it was like, well, given the weird shit that's already happened, like there's absolutely no way that this could end in like any normal way that it's gone before. But I mean, I just...
0.5. I think I got a fair few emails done whilst watching this, whilst it's on in the background, and don't think I needed to literally actually look at the screen, apart from looking up every now and again to see that fat lawyer like get stung by a tiny bee.
How weird was it when he came out in the
baby's stroller?
Yeah.
Why? That was so weird.
How many bee puns made it into emails that you're writing?
I don't know. Maybe just, I don't know, vicariously or subliminally. Probably a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe just balding every single bee that I wrote. So you didn't need to pay attention to this. I think the first 15 minutes is up until he says, "Do you like jazz?"
Yeah.
It's quite an entertaining little ditty film. And then it just becomes like, what's going on? So I'm going to go for 0.5, like Helen. And that gives us an overall score of 1.81, which is not our lowest score.
What's lower?
Our lowest score is That Thing You Do, which is 1.7. But that is our second lowest score.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. I feel honoured to have picked it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But you don't quite get the booby prize though, unfortunately.
No.
I should have given a lower score.
So I should have given him a lower score. Damn it.
So we do go to Twitter before we review the films before the session. And in this case, I always say we're reviewing Beer Movie with Keira Baxendale and Sound of a Goddard from Wooden Overcoats. Overcoats Wooden. Have you seen it? Give us your thoughts for an on air shout out on FlixWatcher and give us a review. We had one response. Keira, do you want to read that response?
This person who is Death by Film Pod gave it a grand 1 star and their review was in capitals, Jerry Seinfeld voice intensifies, and that's it.
Yeah. And I just wanted to make sure that it was 1 star because sometimes people don't know how to work Twitter. And yeah, it is. I can't say I love the movie.
Oh my
this
God.
This is one of my favourite Twitter reviews we've ever
it's
had.
It's brilliant.
Oh God.
Thank you very much.
I'm so glad I picked it.
Thank you very much. It's been entertaining.
It has.
Yeah. And it points us to push us to watch films that we haven't seen before. So Helen, you haven't seen it before, so it's a new film you can say you've watched. Okay.
I remember you saying before, like, because I sent you a message going, like, is there a thing for picking a bad one and, like, enjoying it? And you were like, oh, generally it makes quite a bad podcast if you pick a bad film deliberately.
Yeah.
But this was picked in earnest.
It was.
That's what I love about
it. I didn't pick it on purpose.
I know.
Yeah.
Was going to be bad.
And no, but I think it's made quite a fun.
It has.
Because we're like together going like, what have we done to ourselves?
And I think that when it's a bad film, when people choose films because, oh my God, it's so bad, we have to watch it. But I could tell, even though it was Anna that told me you chose B-Movie, I could tell that you wanted to watch it because you were like, yeah, I haven't seen it for a while. Yeah. It might be cool
might
to re-watch
it. Might be good.
Yeah. On that bombshell, guys, Keira, Andy, can you sign off by telling everyone who's listening, Jasper included, where we can find you online and where to find Wooden Overcoats?
I hope this has been a really good plug for Wooden Overcoats.
I could just say your other members of the Wooden Overcoats team have chosen better films.
I kind of, I've got a really competitive streak, and when I listen to the one with Beth and David, and they pick that amazing black and white film,
All About Eve.
All About Eve, yeah. Mm. And I was like, oh, I'd really love to beat that score. And then when he suggested B-movie, I was like, well, that one's not going to do
it. Andy, have no faith in me.
I mean, and this was when I genuinely, still remembering it as a good film. I was like, you know, like it's fun. We might win fun points.
You didn't discourage me, though.
I didn't. No, I don't discourage you. It's not my directing style. Got to see where things go.
It's really bad. Try again.
Okay, yeah. That is great news, to be fair. That's okay, so to do the wrap-up thing, I am at Sound of a Godard on Twitter. I am at Radio Godard on Instagram, although I rarely use it, so come to Twitter, please. And I make Wooden Overcoats, as well as a few other podcasts. Mm-hmm. Currently halfway through a series called No Passion, No Point for BBC Five Live. It's good if you check that out. Over to Kira.
Listen to Wooden Overcoats every day. My Twitter and Instagram are both at Kira Baxendale, because I'm a simple woman.
Just keeping it easy for everyone else who wants to follow you.
You got there first.
Yeah. There's only one me.
Nice. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming on.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Enjoy listening to FlixWatcher Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to your podcasts. Why not leave us your 5-star review on iTunes and follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter.
Thank you, Rachel Jordan, for editing this podcast and making it sound so smooth and slick and sweet. And thank you very much to Mighty People for the tunes that you all are enjoying now.